Hello, everybody. Welcome back. So we are on part two of my John Dennis interview. I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this next part. If you haven't listened to the first part, you need to go back and listen to that part before you listen to this part so that you have more context into what we're talking about. But we are talking about California Republican politics, how John Dennis has contributed to the growth of Republican voter registrations in California, how he is helping to wake people up in the state that, you know, California is very blue. California is doing all sorts of things that are evil. I mean, they are trying to really allow, they're grooming kids, like John was saying on the last episode, but they are trying to get it to the point where kids are just freely going around and transitioning without parental approval. California is a whole mess. I mean, we see Gavin Newsom. He's always complaining about the crime when he has to go to the store. But, you know, these are because of policies that he has implemented that everybody is struggling in California. I was talking to a homeless man because there are a lot of homeless men in DC, and I was talking to him about what does he think about the Democrats, especially when it comes to, you know, them sending all of this money to the illegal immigrants that are coming into our country, boarding them up in like these 5-star hotels. You know, I wanted to know what his opinion on all of that was. And it was so fascinating that he can be there as a homeless person and say, well, I love the government. I was like, do you know what they're doing? Do you know? And he actually like kept up with the news. So he did know what the Democrats are doing with our taxpayer money, not his, but ours. And he was just still so gung-ho for the government. This is the level of cognitive dissonance that is happening in our country right now to so many people. This is not just the homeless people. He was like, well, I'm homeless, so I have to love the government. I was like, do you know you don't have to? Like, do you know that like you watch the news? And he had, like, it's so funny to me that all of these homeless people have all of these electronics. Like, how do they have those? Probably our tax dollars. But anyway, he did know a lot about the news, and he knew a lot about Ukraine. He knew a lot about Israel. He knew a lot about a lot of news things, but he was homeless. And he was saying, I just love the government. It's like, is that what's happening in California? Like, you can be homeless. You can be a drug addict. You can be strewn out on the defecated streets. Saying, I just love the government. Because if that is the case, then we have a very big problem, much bigger problem than I thought we had in this country. So I really think that it's hopeful, though. It's inspiring that John is helping to get a lot of people to wake up in California. He's going to need to come to DC after that so that he can wake up the homeless people here, who, by the way, are a lot of them are veterans. And so that's another thing I don't understand is like, how can you be watching all of this happen? A lot of the time, they will kick veterans out of these places so that they can, you know, open arms, welcome in all of these illegal immigrants. This is just such a big problem. This is such a big problem. Why are we helping all of these illegal immigrants at the to the detriment of all of our own people? And now, of course, you guys are seeing what's going on in Haiti with the cannibals. We are starting to, the Joe Biden administration today, I saw they're trying to import the cannibals. No, I don't think we should be doing that. I think that we should be doing the opposite of that. Let's just leave the cannibals alone. But this is what happens when you veer away from Christianity, in my view. Like, it's just such pagan, awful behavior to be a cannibal. That goes without saying. But whenever, and that's why our country is going downhill so fast, by the way, you guys. I mean, people will say, we're Christian nationals. We remember when a lot of us were Christians and how great America was doing. Look at us now. Everybody's becoming these hedonistic atheists and having sympathy for the cannibals. I mean, no. I mean, we're going to have a little bit of like logic enter our minds soon about these things that are happening in the world, because everything is burning. Everything is burning around the globe right now. We have so many problems. And I really need for you guys to sit down and think about the fact that Trump's mean tweets were not as bad as this. A lot of people I'm noticing are saying, well, I'm just not going to vote this time because, you know, I don't know. I think they're both bad. Do you remember that we had world peace under Trump? Do you remember that we didn't have like the threat of World War III? victory under Trump. People would make jokes about that. Oh, well, Trump's such a loose cannon. We had world peace. We never had to worry about being killed when Trump was president. We didn't have all of these illegal immigrants entering our nation. We didn't have all of these super high crime rates. We didn't have all of these cannibals being sent over to America. So I really think everybody needs to like just sit down and like take stock of what's going on and really think about, was I wrong? Like, is it possible that I have been brainwashed by the propaganda coming from Washington, D.C. and New York? Is it possible that I was an idiot? And just really sit and marinate on that, because chances are that if you are still aligning yourself with the Democrats, you're an idiot and you need to really reevaluate yourself. So just think about that, because they do not care about you. They do not care about these homeless people. They do not care about anybody except for apparently Ukraine, illegal immigrants, and I guess now cannibals. But anyway, we're going to get back into this interview with John Dennis. Again, if you haven't listened to the other episode, listen to that first. But let us get right back into our conversation with John now. Yeah. And you think people would just kind of wake up on their own, you know, like with the amount of craziness that is going on in the world right now, like you'd think people would just wake up on their own, like just see it and wake up. Hello. Good morning. But no, they're not waking up on their own. And, you know, sometimes they really need people to just point it out, spell it out, show them, you know, where they're being kind of brainwashed. And then hopefully they wake up from there, which is why I'm so massively grateful to people like you, you know, especially in places like California, who are dedicated to going out and having these conversations, you know, running against Nancy Pelosi numerous times and working with all of these Republican organizations to really try to wake people up and just show them that, like, again, if you just stand up for the right thing and are a little bit bold in the face of a lot of opposition, you know, you got to do that. You've got to be willing to be the one smart person in a really dumb group so that maybe the other people who are like, I kind of disagree with them, but I don't know if it's safe to disagree because they all think this. When people see that, it is extremely powerful. And then they feel like they have the courage suddenly, you know, to do the same thing. They're not alone. And I think that it's just awesome that you're doing that in California. We need more people like you in California and places like DC and New York and all the others. But it's also important to keep in mind the risk, especially if you are in these, you know, super, super, I mean, DC is 96% Democrat. Like, California is extremely left-leaning. Chicago, New York, we have all of these major Democrat run cities, which, by the way, always are doing really, really bad. DC has these massive rats now, like big fat rats that are like running around the city. So Democrat cities are disgusting and they're dangerous, is my point. Is it's not even just about the rats. There are multiple types of rats out here these days. There are physical rats in the Democrat cities, and there are also human rats, and they will come after you and be really contentious when you're, you know, having the bravery to stand up and have these opinions and go against the grain, so to speak, and to have a different opinion that you know in your soul is right. It can get really contentious. And I've seen some videos that you've posted on Twitter about this where you've run into that, and like people are coming up to you and yelling at you, like these Antifa guys or BLM people. And, you know, they're just like, get out of our city. We love our city. Your city's gross. Like, your city's trash. And, you know, John, you're trying to fix it. You're trying to help. And I remember, you know, watching that video that you posted, and I was like, wow, like here you are trying to help things, and then they're going up against you. But people will run into that if they are being brave, and especially in these Democrat run cities, you know, really out in public saying these things and doing these things. And I had that happen tonight. Like, I was at the coffee shop, literally just retweeting an anti-communist tweet. A communist saw that, and then he shoved me in the coffee shop, literally this huge smelly, weed smelling, like lazy, you know, publicly educated, quote unquote, creature, like shoved me. I almost fell over, and it was really rude, and I almost spilled my coffee, which would have been really upsetting to me. But my point is that you can really upset people by just being yourself as a conservative or independent or Republican these days. So what would your advice be to that, being as you, as you know, which your situation was much worse than mine, but like in your video, like if people are running into that, what would be your advice to kind of deal with that contention?
Yeah, it was very kind of you to say that. You know, actually Scott was sort of connected to that, because we were doing a cleanup. Remember when Scott was doing the cleanups in like Baltimore and LA and those places?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were doing a San Francisco cleanup, and we had we organized. People came in from Utah, Southern California, all over the place. 150 people coming in to clean up San Francisco, and the local politician was embarrassed by it and put out a tweet, basically, in dog whistling Antifa to come attack us. And we had a base camp where everyone was sort of fanning, from which everyone was fanning out. And I get a text while we're out cleaning up that we're under attack. And I come racing back to the base camp, like 5 blocks from where I was. And there are 40 people screaming at us, protesting us for cleaning up the city.
Unbelievable. Antifa said, leave the trash. We love the trash.
Again, we're talking about programming. So you get these people triggered because they were told that we were mocking homeless people. It's all nonsense, right? We're just cleaning up and pointing out that the city's filthy. And it was embarrassing to this supervisor. And I can't wait to tell you the epilogue of what happened there. But when I get back, I noticed that most of them were kind of like, not terribly threatening people, even with their masks on and stuff. But there were a couple of big guys there who were, pushing people around and that kind of thing. And I went up to one of them and just said, I disagree with you. Let's kind of talk this through and see if we can turn down the heat. And his opening line was, "I want you dead."
Wow. So definitely not the best start.
Well, also, I was a little impressed because usually people, it takes them about 60 seconds to want me dead. But this guy was wanting me dead right off the bat.
He's just wasting no time.
So there's this whole confrontation. And at the end, when he realized I wasn't going to take the bait from him, he kept insulting me and saying all kinds of stupid things. But, he said at the very end, "I'm going to F you up when these cameras are turned off." And I told him that didn't bother me if he wanted to do that. And I, go ahead and do it. You got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And we posted that video. I was a little reluctant to do it because I was a candidate against Pelosi for Congress. I didn't want to be seen as the guy who was getting into that kind of threatening situations with people. But we put it out there, and it must have struck a nerve because it was viewed like almost immediately, like 750,000 times, and tons of people were commenting on it. And then President Trump retweeted it.
Amazing.
But in all caps, "Make America Great Again." And then it's been viewed like 3.5 million times on Twitter.
Wow, that is amazing. And thank God, y'all have it on video and we're able to capture it and put it on out there so that people can see, these are the contentious people, not us, And, I would understand the fear, especially if you're running for office. I have a PR firm. I would understand if you didn't want to, hey, here's me fighting with people in the city, but it's because you were picking up garbage to help the city and these people were like, "No, leave the garbage, we're gonna fight you." For what? For helping to make the city better? They're going to complain all the time about the cities being trash, and then when people are trying to pick up the trash, then they're going to tell the people that are trying to pick up the trash that they're trash, and "I'm gonna fight you or kill you" is what that guy said he was going to do to you. These are very deranged human beings, but I'm glad you got it on video and shared it on Twitter, that Trump retweeted it and they all got millions of views. It's important for people to see that kind of stuff. It's important for people to know, it is dangerous, but you can stand up to these people. That's the only way to deal with bullies anyway. You have to stand up to them and just be like, actually, like you said, you've got the wrong guy and we're doing the right thing and we're going to keep doing that. But thank you so much for complaining.
I think many people in that video had some time to think about it because it's a few years ago now, have taken some inspiration from it because I did stand up against the guy where he, when he threatened me, let him know I was happy to, accommodate him if he wanted to take it in that direction. But in a sense, it wasn't really the outcome I was looking for. What I was looking for was a toning, calming of the temperature, and just to say, look, this is not necessary. You've been misinformed. We're trying to make the place, we have the same goals. We're also trying to make the place, the city, a better place to live. And to walk away shaking hands and saying, okay, we agree to disagree. Unfortunately, I didn't get to that end. That would have been the most successful outcome.
Yeah.
Outcome to me. And that's kind of what I strive to do, in my role as the chairman of the San Francisco Republican Party. As frequently as possible, because the thing, look, I would love, liberty utopia, right? I would love for us to all, to have no taxes and very minimal government and just let people, live private lives. But I'm, we're, not likely to happen in my lifetime, but at the very least, what we could have, what would really benefit a place like San Francisco, is some balance.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Democrats, I think this might be said, might be true if you had a, it's probably not as true if you had a total control by the Republicans, but certainly with the Democrats, as you get, as they get more power, you find that they get their actions and their policies get more disconnected from reality, and it becomes an exercise in purity and an exercise piety to their orthodoxy, to progressive orthodoxy. And the losers are the people who live in these places, because we have become one big social experiment.
Yeah, but literally.
And almost invariably a failing one. So, invariably a failing one. I can't think of where it's really worked. And so one of the benefits of the Republican Party growing in San Francisco is, I know these supervisors and these people, these electeds, they all know what's going on. They see that the Republican Party is growing again. It's an issue for them. And so the more moderate Democrats can turn around and say, oh, we got a problem pursuing these progressive policies when the Republican Party in San Francisco is growing. And so what's happened is it's shifted. It's helped to shift politics to a more centrist position, which is a win for us because it's a shift to the right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that answered your question, but that's sort of been that's been a positive outcome so far. I expect it to continue. No one's paying attention when we tell them, okay, Mayor Breed, you're now pursuing the policies we told you to pursue 8 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years, whatever it is. But nobody wants to hear that. But it's the truth. But a lot of voters see it. So I think more and more of them will. And hopefully we'll achieve some level of balance, in the years ahead. And it'll make San Francisco this amazing gem of a city. It'll make it, a better place again.
Yeah. And I mean, you think about how great San Francisco could be, you think about it. Of course, nothing can be a utopia, but San Francisco could be exponentially better. I mean, it doesn't have to be a trash filled dump. I mean, it could be a lot better. You're trying to change that. I'm glad that, slowly but surely, it seems like it is moving that direction. And like you said, even if the people are starting to view things from a more centrist perspective, at least they're moving. At least it's moving. The window needs to move. And, slowly but surely is fine as long as it's happening. And we just need to keep pushing away at this because, our country's future depends on it, really. And, people should not have to, a lot of the times I'll think I shouldn't have to not live in DC just because it's trash. I would rather try to help it not be trash. It's probably always going to be trash. It's DC. But in these major cities, people, instead of just resigning themselves to accept that these are just bad cities and we're just going to always elect a Democrat leadership and have it constantly be trash, we can actually choose a different path and have better cities. And, San Francisco can be that. All of these cities could be that. And we just need to have more people having the gumption to go up and tell people the truth, basically, which is what you and your organizations are doing. And it is crucial. I mean, people really, they just intentionally don't teach people civics in the schools anymore. People don't really know that much about politics unless they really just get into it and that's their career or something. But they need to know that these are important things for them to know. All of this stuff impacts them, and they need to, be aware of their leadership and know when it needs to change. We did not lose so many soldiers in this country for us to just not take voting rights seriously, or to not pay attention to what our leaders are doing. I mean, I think that some people think it's such a hard thing to do. It's really not. You can very easily see what your leaders are up to, see if you agree with what they're doing. Sometimes they use academic language to try to twist things, or marketing language to try to make things seem the way that they're not. But look into the bills, look into the policies, look into what they're doing in your areas, and ask yourself, does this really align with what I believe? Would I really want my kid to go change their gender without my approval? I don't think so. I would hope that most of the people listening to my podcast would not want that. And I know that you guys don't, but like, just talk to other people about how that, like, the absurdity of that and all of these other policies, and just, you know, it start encouraging people to look at different leadership if their leadership is not like doing well. But the schools really do have a vested interest in people not knowing about this stuff, not caring about this stuff. And that is why they don't go over this stuff. But I do like your point about, you know, in the video when you're, you know, having to deal with these Antifa people, you know, that your goal really was to bring the level down and end it with a handshake. I mean, that's the difference in the sides, I think. But we do need to strive for that. It's really hard to get these emotionally, you know, charged leftists to really be able to talk about things rationally and in a calm manner. But yeah, I mean, that is the ideal way to talk to them about this stuff and to change their minds. And if they won't do that, you know, just kind of move on, go to the next one, you know?
There's a very, I mean, you know, if you think about what government is, I mean, government is a monopoly on the use of force, right? And it's a dangerous, dangerous power. And when it starts bleeding out into the political, like we're seeing with President Trump right now, where they're using the legal system against him, it's a really dangerous thing. So I think all of us need to sort of work on setting the example, setting the example of, you know, being the calm person, not getting into the, you know, and not even being provoking violence, you know, always work towards, you know, toning down the temperature. And I think fair-minded people are attracted to that. And that's who I think are the people who are most likely to be deprogrammable.
Yeah, that's an excellent point as well. I mean, everybody's not going to be unprogrammable. I mean, a lot of people really enjoy being programmed. And I've talked about that a lot on this podcast before. But like, a lot of people just like to be spoon-fed their opinions from MSNBC, from CNN, from these Democrats. And they don't, like, they're just not comfortable with trusting their own opinions or forming their own beliefs. Like, they're not comfortable with truth, really. Like, they like having their feelings coddled by people who have their worst interest at heart and are, you know, it makes me sad because they are using them for money and control, and like, their lives are terrible. And like the homeless guy that I was talking about earlier before this episode, like, you know, they don't even realize that they're being abused. It's Stockholm syndrome. It's crazy. But yeah, I mean, definitely that's really good advice to focus on the people that are, you know, deprogrammable. Like, we need to focus on those people, you know, and it's proving that it's working because y'all are moving more centrist and it is possible. But like, yeah, with these super, super far left crazy people, you know, you're not probably going to be able to change their minds so easily. But yeah, I mean, everybody knows it's getting super spicy out here with the Trump court cases and all of this stuff going on. Like, the DOJ, like, we don't have a Department of Justice anymore. We have a Department of Injustice, and it is just very sad to see what the Biden administration is doing with our government, weaponizing it in order to stay in control, in order to completely ruin our country even more, if that's even possible. But yeah, I think with everything being so spicy out here, like, just remember, I mean, especially if you're talking to like centrist people, you don't really need to go at them with fire. I mean, they're probably going to be more level-headed people, and you can just present them with facts and logic, and they'll be more they'll be more susceptible to listening to you if you are just being, you know, a level-headed human being. We do need more of that out here these days. I can fight fire with fire. I don't mind doing that. But at the end of the day, I really do enjoy just like talking about the facts and being logical and presenting the information to people way more than having to yell. I don't actually enjoy yelling. I think that people think I enjoy yelling. I don't really enjoy it. I don't like it. I would prefer to not have to ever do it. Actually, it's not something I like. But if we keep our heads level and just present the facts and the logic and the information to people, especially these centrist people that are even able to be moved that direction, you're going to have a much better chance of swaying minds. And that is a good point that you bring up. I really encourage everybody to do that. I kind of want to swerve and talk about your runs against Nancy Pelosi, if we can. I would love to know like how that went, if you ran into any other like contentious moments with leftists during that, because I'm sure you did. And just overall, like how that process was for you and what you noticed.
Well, the moment of contention that got caught on video was just a bit of luck, because I was running against Pelosi that year, and the campaign team wanted to video the cleanup, and so I was mic'd, and I totally forgot there was a camera following me. But you know, in other campaign stops, yeah, I've had people threaten me. Shoot, I just had a guy threaten me over text. I put a tweet out about that, a whole thread. It was viewed like a million times.
Oh my gosh.
I was just venting because it happens so often.
Yeah.
You know, people threatening. It's crazy. Like one time, I'll tell you another time that sort of stands out. One of the things that I learned in my first run against Pelosi was that Harvey Milk, icon of San Francisco, we have a terminal named after him at San Francisco International Airport, who was tragically killed in City Hall, was first openly gay supervisor elected in San Francisco. Harvey Milk, known as a progressive leftist, in 1964 supported Barry Goldwater for president. And so, I always felt like it made sense that I spoke at the National Log Cabin Dinner in 2010, and I made this point. I always felt like it sort of makes sense to me that at least at that time that gays would have kind of a libertarian bent with like a smaller government, because they were constantly being mistreated by the government in those years, and that somebody like Harvey Milk would be attracted to the sort of libertarian positions of Barry Goldwater. So I was doing some campaigning in the Castro, which is the big gay district in town, and I had a lot of those guys threaten me.
Oh my gosh!
Most people were just sort of like, Then there were some people who came out of the closet as Republicans to their friends.
That's funny.
I remember sitting. It was at Twin Peaks, the bar on the corner. Castro Market with a writer from the New York Times, and there was a bunch of older gay guys there, and we started talking about this, and then there were like six or seven of them. And this one guy goes, "Yeah, I'm a Republican," and all of his friends look at him, and then the other guy goes, "Yeah, I'm a Republican." Moments like that go to other places, and then so these people who knew each other, sitting around, known each other for years, and now they have a special conversation. Go to other places, and like. Some of these guys were like, they wanted to rough me up. And I think, there's a narrative out there that has to do with the AIDS crisis and Reagan's response to it. And, and there's all that.
Yeah.
Some other things too. But, so it's a common occurrence. Like we've had messages. I had a message left on the San Francisco Republican voicemail. About 6 months ago or so, a guy threatened to shoot us in the head.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And this idiot was left his, called from his own number. So the caller ID had picked up his number.
Oh, my God. They're not sending their smartest.
And I, figured out who it was. I called the police. They said, "We'll be there shortly," at like 6 o'clock at night. At like 2 a.m, they ring the doorbell in my house.
Oh, my God.
So I go out and I file a police report. I play this, the file for them. I email them the file. And then they never did anything about it.
Okay, you guys, we're going to have to split this up into three different episodes, actually. So this is part two. Go listen to part one if you haven't yet. And then part three will be coming out next week. But I do have to tell you guys about ExpressVPN. We're talking about how John's stupid person who tried, threatened to shoot him, did not have a caller ID on his phone. The left is not sending their brightest ever. But you, as a conservative Republican, independent, libertarian, whatever you are listening to my podcast, I think that you need to have a VPN on your computer and your phone, all of your devices, to protect your information. ExpressVPN works with just about everything. Install the app on all of your devices and enjoy up to 8 simultaneous connections with one subscription. It has ultra-fast global access. Their global network of high-speed servers puts you in control, appear to be in any of 105 countries worldwide, and enjoy online freedom anywhere. Instant online protection. Take charge of your digital security in one click. ExpressVPN's best-in-class encryption keeps you safe and private on any network. So you guys are definitely going to want to check this out. It's just another way to protect your information from people who, maybe the government, maybe somebody else, just wants to get your information. Privacy is the biggest luxury these days, and I just encourage everybody to have a VPN, especially if you're like me and you're researching a lot of of things about the government and all of these things that they never wanted us to know about. VPNs are just good to have for everybody. You should have it on all of your devices all the time. It keeps you safe. It keeps you secure. And ExpressVPN is a really good one to check out. So I will have a link below for you guys to check it out if you want to. Let me know what you think if you do. And we're going to see you guys next time.